So with that, let me have Malkia Isiril start or kick off this discussion. She's the executive director and founder of the Center for Media Justice. Malkia, maybe we could start by having you sort of laying a little bit of the background out and just explaining why are policies about what we're calling open internet important and timely right now?
Thank you for having me. Can y'all hear me? All right. You know, trying to talk about the issue of net neutrality is like trying to explain like the galaxy, like who cares, right? But network neutrality, so I'm gonna start very simple. Some of you may know this already, but just in case, we'll get on the same page together. Net neutrality is the term that describes a set of rules that protect openness on the internet. It describes a set of principles that have been guiding the internet since the internet started, right? So network neutrality isn't new. What's new is network neutrality laws and rules. That's what's new, right? So network neutrality, so some people are trying to be like, why do you want to fix something that isn't broken, right? We don't need network neutrality. The internet's been working fine. Of course it's been working fine because there's been network neutrality. So let's just clear that myth up right now. It's an old set of rules. You know, it's been there since the beginning. Okay, or principles. The point is that without the principle of network neutrality, companies get to decide whether the content is something that won't make them any money, so they'll slow the content. Whether they want to prioritize their content over other people's content. If you have weak non-discrimination rules, companies have as much room as they want to discriminate around the types of content they want to prioritize or not. All of these rules are intended to create a level playing field, ensure equal access. All of these rules are intended to make sure that there is equal space for all of your voices and my voice, that all of us have a chance to participate in innovation, to engage in commerce in equal ways, all of those things. So that's the standard stock answer. That's what network neutrality is. So when people are talking about it, that's what they're fighting about. Now let me answer in a different way, okay? Now I'm gonna give you the second answer. Is that cool? What is network neutrality, okay? Let's say like this, network neutrality is to broadband like the Bill of Rights is to the Constitution, okay? Without it, you have not only chaotic management of the system, but you have discriminatory management of the system. I want to describe the fight to you, if that's cool. On one side, you have internet service providers, big media companies, and they want point blank, they say, do not regulate me. I don't want to be regulated. I should have as much room as I need to make as much money as I can. And I don't think that's American for you to tell me I can't make as much money as I need to. That's the argument. Second part of their argument, why fix what isn't broken? I've already described that to you. That's the second big argument. Now here's the clincher, here's the hard argument, the third big argument on their side. If you regulate me too tightly, I will not build out broadband in poor communities, okay? If you interfere with my ability to profit, then I will take that profit out on you. I will take it out in a different way. Because no matter what you say, I will profit. Okay? That's the bottom line of the third argument. So who cares about that third argument? Well, guess what? The NAACP cares. The Urban League cares. National Council of La Raza cares. Beltway civil rights groups, which I'm not going to talk very much about because we have other folks who will talk about that, they care. They are concerned, and legitimately so, that the money that they receive, the hundreds of millions of dollars that they receive from these media companies will be in jeopardy. Because those monies, to some degree, go to them providing certain services and access and all of that. It goes to other things too, like million-dollar dinners and stuff like that, but we won't talk about that. The point is that they're legitimately concerned that these network neutrality rules will harm communities of color. There is no evidence to support that. It is a message, it's a myth, but it is the myth that is saturating public debate. It is the conversation that is in every article, It's in every paper that is talking about this issue. There is somebody talking about how if you regulate the internet, you will hurt broadband build out in communities of color, okay? On the other side, you have grassroots organizations, you have public interest advocates, you have a whole bunch of folks who are saying, actually, like any industry, broadband is an industry. It needs to be regulated, it needs oversight. And if we don't regulate it, what's at stake is this thing we talked about, this level playing field. Small businesses will not be able to access the internet in the same ways that big businesses will be able to, right? Independent artists will have a harder time moving their content. We're talking about all the venues that our communities use to move their messages, to speak to larger audiences. Those are actually the venues that are threatened. So the big question that I've been asking, you know, civil rights communities and other folks, is why would you want to erect the same barriers to entry that we've already faced in broadcast and in print for hundreds of years? We have a chance. If I regulate Comcast, if I regulate AT&T, if I regulate internet service providers, if I regulate Verizon, and they make a decision to withhold build broadband build out, that actually is called redlining. And that's illegal. And that's exactly what communities of color are facing. How can I want to make this last point because I think it's super important. If you have broadband access, but you cannot use it to reach your life goals, then all you are is a consumer. That is not the purpose of media. The purpose of media is to inform and engage and encourage democratic participation. If you do not have access, if you cannot represent yourself online, then the purpose of the instrument itself, the purpose of the internet, has failed. It isn't reaching, it isn't meeting its mandate, right? And the problem is that the communities who will be most affected by this, they don't have a voice, they don't have vehicles. The only vehicles they really have are, you know, some advocates, some online sites, and you. But that what's happening now is only one voice is being heard, and that is the voice of those who have the money, who have the power, and who already have the access.
Thank you, Malkia.